Tony Jones is going to speak to us for about 35 minutes. Now, Tony comes to us from the beautiful lower Blue Mountain. He's a trained teacher. He's also trained at Moore College. We forgive him for that. He's been involved in youth and children's ministry for a number of years. Now, Tony grew up in a period where our community, our society was struggling as women redefined themselves. Men have been trying to catch up and understand what on earth happened and what is our new relationship with our new relationship basis with women. Tony, I'm proud to present to you the cream of the delegates.
Yes, I can tell by one look, one glance. Yep, this is the best.
Yep. What everyone doesn't realise is all the other seminars on humour and film and how to make money in a Christian way, we just put those in to weed out the wheat from the chaff. So we got the thinkers here and also those who are extremely desperate, tearing out their hair trying to work out what am I going to do with these kids. So thanks for your time this afternoon, Tony.
Pleasure.
Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just ask that as we consider our role as men in society, we can understand how to relate to women properly ourselves, and more particularly, how we can train those men who are coming behind us to relate to women properly as well, you know, in a way that brings glory to you. And we pray that we will do that this afternoon. Be with Tony as he speaks to us. Be with us as we think and ponder and consider, and help us to come to a mind that reflects the will of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for that welcome. Setting a high bar, I hope that I can do a Frosby flop over the top of it. I thought I'd begin by introducing you to my family. So this is my wife, Josie. I scored well. She puts up with me. She's a lovely girl. And like all marriages, we've been married 22 years. Like all marriages, it grows and it isn't always an easy path. Having two strong personalities together. This is our family, and we have four sons God has graced us with from the ages now of 11 up to 20, going on 21 in a few months' time. So Zach, our eldest, no longer lives with us. He's studying out at Bathurst, and we have three living with us at home, which means we now have enough space for everybody, which is a great blessing. It was a little crowded there for a while. Not enough bedrooms. But it is a challenge, and probably one of the things I'd like to reflect to start with is, as a father, it is amazing to realise that all of the personalities God gave your children are all different. No two are quite the same. Put your hands up if you're a father in here. Ooh, quite a few. Hands down. Put your hands up if you are part of a family where there are younger siblings, whether you've got younger brothers. Yeah? Hands down. Put your hands up if you've got young boys and young growing men in your church. Excellent. Leading question, really. So it leads me to the question, do we need to consider this topic at all? Teaching men to respect women. Teaching boys to respect women. Do we? What I did was I did a Google search, and we had a look at material. Wasn't very hard to find. Didn't have to go very far. Let's have a look. Here we have a guy named Charlie Sheen. He's an American actor, comes from an acting dynasty. He's had success in his life and huge relationship failure, yet he still manages to command $1 million an episode for the current sitcom that he's in. Here we have a guy named Tiger. He was a very good golfer, and his form's a bit patchy at the moment. He's been a golfing success. He's a multi-millionaire. He's created a media frenzy. He has had relationship failure in his life. He is now divorced. Here we have a guy named Mel, expat Aussie. He's been very successful in movies, very successful as an actor. He's had marriage failure, relationship failure, post-marriage failure. Is it only in America that this happens, even though he's an expat Aussie? Well, no. This is Wayne Carey, AFL legend, once known as King Carey. He's been known as a very, very successful AFL player. He's also been known for violence, broken relationships, public shame, and notoriety. One more. Matthew Newton, on the news very, very recently. He's had success in the acting. He's part of an Australian acting dynasty. He's also had violent episodes, a history of abuse. His parents describe his life as a train wreck. A child's portrayal of the most significant relationship in their young life. Happy? Not very. So, definition of respect then. I would say that we probably would do well to look at it. So, to show esteem, to honour, the regard felt or shown towards somebody, to show a consideration for somebody, to treat somebody with consideration. We heard the song by Aretha Franklin, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, as you walked in or as you were sitting there. An anthem of the feminist movement. It was interesting. I was talking with my wife, Josie, and we were only discussing last night some other songs that have been anthems. Working 9 to 5, Dolly Parton. Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, Annie Lennox. The interesting thing is that they are songs that followed one another. And I think they sort of represent the feminist movement. Searching and demanding for respect in the beginning, then trying to match it with blokes working 9 to 5, and then the message, we don't need men at all. Sisters are doing it for themselves. Pendulum swinging. It's a dangerous place to play. If we have a look at some images, way back in the late 1800s, we have some ladies who are demanding women's rights. And that says, no self-respecting woman should wish or work for the success of a party that ignores her sex. That was 1872. If we have a look at the way women are represented in magazines through the 30s to 50s, there's a lot of homeliness, a lot of, modern woman there. It's featuring cookery, home chat, my house, that sort of thing. A slogan. Love yourself from the inside out, aimed at women, trying to enhance self-esteem. There's nothing wrong with that. Love yourself. Is that part of the problem? We need to have self-esteem, but if we only focus on ourselves, do we have a problem? The modern face of feminism. Bill Bailey cites himself as a feminist, and his t-shirt says, this is what a feminist looks like. You can see he's a beautiful man. Balding, long hair, beard and a pipe. Excellent work. Very funny guy. Modern versions of the way women are represented. I stuck to magazines. I could have gone a lot of other places for images. We know that the World Wide Web has plenty of them. The question here, what do women aspire to? We've got Women's Health magazine. We've got another magazine focusing on glamour. We've got another one or a series, Elle, Vogue, whole series. We've got magazines for both men and women. The question is, what's inside the covers? What is the content? Well, if you have a look at women's magazines, the covers of women's magazines, this graph breaks it down. You've got 40% articles on diet. Ladies are very, very concerned about how they look and their weight. 25% on guys telling about sex. 30% on sex secrets, and then 5% on everything else. Let's test this theory and see if it's true. Go back to our covers, the glamour cover. If you have a look there, you'll see the first article, the ultimate do's and don'ts of sex. Does that fit our criterion? Down the bottom there, don't diet in December, eat. It's about diet. Let's try the next one. Surely the women's health one. Of course, it's going to be about health. A beach-ready body, about losing weight. Oh, here's something different. 2,145 all-new health, fitness, nutrition and sex tips. Does that fit the criteria? Okay. There's another one called Have More Fun in Bed, Start Tonight. Here's something different. Cosmopolitan magazine. All the articles are about sex. A little worry, isn't it? A slogan, men of quality respect women's equality. And then I found another ad. An ad for Penthouse magazine, which says basically we're a women's magazine. The messages that we're getting constantly undermining anything to do with respect. Here we have a cartoon. The bloke is saying to the lady, it says here that some woman is tired of seeing men working signs and is suing because it's dismissive of women. She replies, well, good for her. It's about time we're shown a little respect. Men aren't the only ones working these days, you know. He says, yeah, I guess they should change the sign to read, men and chicks working to pacify you broads. What are the messages that we're getting? How old do you think this guy is? Anybody hazard a guess? Okay, we've got somewhere between 2 and 4.
Yeah, I'd say he's about 3. Respect,
demand it, and stick your finger up at the world. He obviously has some strong role models in his life. Here's the message. What we say, what we do, is watched by the very young. Let's have a look at the Bible. What does the Bible teach about women and men? We're created equal. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The Bible teaches that both man and woman were created in God's image. They had a direct relationship with God, shared jointly the responsibilities of bearing and rearing children, and having dominion over the created order, if you read verse 28. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. The Bible teaches that women, men and women were created for full and equal partnership. Here the word helper is used to designate the woman, but it refers throughout the Old Testament to God in other instances. It's not a word that conveys inferiority. It has no implication whatsoever for female subordination or inferiority at all. In Genesis 2:18 and again in 20, the word suitable denotes equality and adequacy. The Bible teaches that the forming of woman from man demonstrates the fundamental unity and equality of human beings, sometimes misinterpreted. We're all co-participants in the fall. If you look at Genesis 3:6, the Bible teaches that man and woman are together in the fall. Adam is no less culpable than Eve. What else does the Bible say? Well, in Deuteronomy 6, there's a co-responsibility for parents in the raising of children. And it even goes further into community. But the Bible teaches that both mothers and fathers are to exercise leadership in the nurture, training, discipline, and teaching of their children. You can look in Exodus 20, Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy, Proverbs 1 to 8, Ephesians 6, many times. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, especially concentrating on 15 to 17, treating each other with respect, take off the old self, put on the new self. In 1 Peter 2, 17, show proper respect to everyone. 1 Peter 3 talks to husbands after it's talked to wives. Husbands, treat your wives with respect. They're heirs with you. 1 Peter 3, 8 to 9, live in harmony. The Bible reinforces it over and over and over again. We're created equal but different. The Bible teaches that husband and wives are heirs together, bound in a relationship of mutual submission and responsibility, but there is a headship notion. Headship, leadership, wives and husbands, together but different roles. I suspect that the idea of headship is somewhat misinterpreted at times. Husband's function as head is to understand, to be understood as self-giving love and service within this relationship of mutual submission. Leadership is empowerment of others for service rather than as the exercise of power over them. All the rest is sin. There is order, there is headship, then there's abuse of headship and abuse of power. And in sad reality, we get images like this. Women, like men, only cheaper. And if you don't like it, help us write it. The wisdom of the world. I'm going to suggest that there are many cancerous relationships. I'll give you some more high-profile examples. Here we have a guy named Chris Brown. He's a rapper. You may not be into rap music. I certainly don't have any Chris Brown albums. And his girlfriend, Rihanna. You have a look, he's had success. He is a man that shows his aggression. If you see the shot at the top there in the red jacket, you'll also see at the bottom what he managed to do to Rihanna. You'll see, I don't know whether that image over there is praying or confessing or just despair, but here he is in court being charged. Greg Bird glassed his girlfriend, Kate Milligan. Greg Bird, footballer in the NRL. Media frenzy at the time. What messages are these sending? A guy named Matthew Johns, and a very successful footballer and then a successful TV career to follow, hit a large pothole when his past was dredged up. Things that he'd done with his teammates. And his wife stuck with him and said, I'm glad it wasn't my daughter. Sad to say, the media has forgiven him, the public has forgiven him, he's back in mainstream TV. You can see his face here and here when he was going through the public scrutiny. Is he a role model? Let's have a look at what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 1-7. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. He was writing this 2,000 years ago and we're still in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Strong words. Do they apply today? After what we've just seen? Cancerous relationships are sin. Genesis 3:16, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Could mean sexual desire. Could mean also a desire to be in his place. The rulership of Adam over Eve resulted from the fall and was therefore not part of the original created order. Genesis 3:16 is a prediction of the effects of the fall rather than a prescription of God's ideal order. It was interesting in talking to Jose last night that she came up with the point that poor communication skills also feed the cancer of cancerous relationships. Men often use superior physical strength inappropriately. Domestic violence occurs when a family member, partner or ex-partner attempts to physically or psychologically dominate or harm the other. You see, respect and violence don't mix. I had a look on the ABS site. They've got statistics as far as a women's safety survey and a personal safety survey. It's interesting that they've changed it from 1996 to 2005. It went to include the fact that there are men who are abused as well in a relationship. The 2005 survey also showed that of those women who were physically assaulted in the 12 months prior to the survey, 38% were physically assaulted by their male current or previous partner. The personal safety survey of 2005 found that 49% of men and women who experienced violence by a current partner reported that they had children in their care, and 27% said that these children had witnessed the violence. Child abuse is more likely to occur in families experiencing domestic violence, but not the only place. It's quite a telling image there, even though it's only in shadow. And it goes on. Abuse can be verbal. And it goes on. And they're watching and they're learning. If there's violence in the home, the kids get the picture. So, there are such things as cancerous relationships. How young do we have to go to dig down to the formation of values? Healthy relationships begin very, very early. In fact, what happened then? How's that? Better. Healthy relationships begin early. We need to think about a woman's role, a mother's role in early childhood, schooling, but also a father's role. One of the most beautifully bonding times was during our pregnancies. I, of course, haven't given birth. I'm still losing some of the pregnancy weight, though. How boys relate to their mothers is important, and so is how they relate to their fathers. Fathers have an amazing role, and this is true of fathers of girls as well. I'm just not an expert in that area. I've never done it. I have been a teacher for many years. My wife, the mother of our sons, is also exceptionally good with girls. They tend to seek her out. And although she was frustrated at not having girls at one stage, she's almost glad that we have one team. It's almost easier. There's a relatability that goes on in our household that's really, really kind of nice. But she appreciates that she has a role as a teacher in another context with girls as well. Here's another question. How does the father treat the mother? That is something that is critical. What the children see in the way the parents relate is very important. And it takes constant work. Relationships never are stagnant. Especially teenagers need a lot of ongoing one-on-one time. Remember the fruit of the example. So it's carried beyond the home as well. At what point do we become aware of gender? When does objectifying women begin? When do our values get formed? If you're born into apartheid, at what point do you embrace it? At what point did the Germans feel so much against the Jews? Irish Catholics, the Protestants and Irish, when does that all begin and why does that carry on? Formation of values begins in the home and it begins very, very early. Who trains our young men? Who are the gatekeepers? Parents and carers? There are such things as significant others as well. Teachers, leaders, coaches, people in church. Men have a responsibility to nurture and encourage. Sometimes we put that at a distance when we ought not. It does take time, and as I said, they're all a bit different. This is my younger three. We're at Wentworth Falls earlier this year at the time. And the hard thing to do is identifying the difficulties. We have one child who's significantly more difficult than the others. He was born bum first. So he managed to, right at the end, turn himself around. But it was a natural delivery, thanks to our obstetrician. But he sort of had that bum first attitude to the world ever since. It's interesting as he grows. And we struggle at times. But it makes my job all the more important. We do workshop time. We build bikes together, push bikes. He loves doing tricks. We modify, you know, those little Razor scooters. That's a big thing with the youngest two. It takes time. And the one blessing that has been in our household is the fact that I play a bit of music. So I spent a bit of time with our eldest son, Zach, and taught him a few chords. It's interesting how it's then flowed through our family. Lockie there and Josh both play multiple instruments. They are happy on guitars, bass, drums. Lockie insisted on playing drums and then managed to teach the rest of them. So we've had a lot of fruit and a lot of good connectedness just through music. It doesn't have to be music, but if you're a dad, you need to find your thing. You need to find what it is that you can connect with. And you need to also be aware and connect into their world. And sometimes it has to be one-on-one. It's not good enough just to treat them as a pack. So it's equally important when we've got kids in our church sometimes to work one-on-one. I was an advisor with YouthWorks for a number of years. And one of the things I constantly said was, if you've got a difficult kid, try doing what I called mower ministry. Let's say, perchance, you're good at stripping mowers. It might be prudent to take that kid out of the normal program and just talk to him while you strip a mower and put it back together. Or do anything. Craft is really important to boys, but it's got to be good craft. If you can involve a cordless drill and some sort of saw, that's when it's worthy. Colouring in doesn't cut the mustard. That finishes about the same time as holding hands with another boy in the playground. You ever seen kindergarten? First few weeks, they're all walking in pairs into class, holding hands, and they don't care who they hold hands with. You come back at the end of the year, there's no holding hands. Something has changed in that intervening time. We need to keep up with that sort of development and understand that we often miss the mark because we start too late. It's not to say things are irreversible, but it's a lot easier when you pick things up early. The last thing that I've done over the last few weeks at church is I've got a bunch of year 5 and 6 guys who basically didn't know much about playing instruments. One of them had been learning a little bit of piano during the grades, but he'd never played a chord in his life. His younger brother has never really played any drums. I've got a son, Cal, that very son there, who had watched his brothers playing guitar but had never played guitar. And we've got a bass player whose older brother, his older brothers play a little bit of bass, but he's never really done it. He looks the part with a bass around his neck, but he actually didn't know how to play it. Well, tomorrow they're playing their first song. 4 chords. We're getting them together. We've had a couple of weeks of practice. Years 5 and 6, this is our new generation of band. And all it is that they're old enough to actually rise to the occasion. So never discount the fact that you can begin earlier than you think. There is a point when it's too early, but okay. What does the Bible say about love? Romans, go to Romans 12. In verses 1 to 2, Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." Love, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Above yourselves. Healthy family relations require work, commitment, leadership, headship from the male in an act of service to his family. How you treat your wife is watched by your children. That's me and my missus. I didn't have a Google image of a couple that was quite what I wanted. So that's us. Look at the bloke staring lovingly. It's sickening, isn't it? I learnt very early on, though, there was the greatest thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. I got that on a little card when Zach was born, and I've tried to remember it ever since. At times it hasn't been easy. Jose wasn't a Christian when we first met. Her mother brought her up with feminist ideals that her mother never lived. And it's been a struggle at times. Strong personality. She's a head teacher that runs a department in a large school. And it's been really hard at times. I've had to learn to iron, cook, tough yards, do all the stuff and fill in the holes because it was needed. And because she needed to do some stuff for her that were important to her. She's taking 12 months leave without pay next year. That's really nice. We'll see how we go. We'll be a lot poorer, but hopefully a lot more at peace. But there's a variety of reasons for that. And I'm not saying anything to crow. I'm just saying sometimes it's not easy and you need to work at it. Healthy relationships. So we get to new habits. To break the cycle of ungodly behaviour, we're fighting a powerful influence. There's influences from every side. I showed you not a fraction. And certainly there's plenty of stuff on the web that is inappropriate to show you. And we don't have to look very far. Has anybody ever watched late night TV? What are the ads like? The news. Even just watching the news, how hard is it? Okay, what can I do? As a bloke, what can an individual do? Study and seek to understand God's word. Pray lots, fully rely on God. We need to work on ourselves. And then when we get that right, as we're getting that right, we can work with our children. If you have a child, teach your child to respect women. Be a good role model yourself. Children, especially young children, learn to respect others by modelling behaviour. They learn appropriate and respectful behaviour by observing the behaviour of those around them. So if you treat all the women in your life with fairness and equality, value the women of your life, understand it's both what we do and what we say that are important, that will be watched. And if you haven't started doing that, now's a good time. Value your child. The most effective way to teach respect is to show respect. Be honest. Admit when you've done something wrong. Apologise for your actions. And that'll help your child learn the value of honesty and respect. Be positive. Don't tolerate sexist language and attitudes. Be polite. Teach your child the importance of being polite and courteous to others. But it's not just about niceness. It's about modelling. Be caring. Teach your child to be empathetic to all individuals. Sometimes egocentricity is, I'm all right. I see the world through my own view. Let's not worry too much about everybody else. That's especially true of pre-teenage, especially boys. Self-respect. It's much easier to respect others than when we respect ourselves. So self-respect is part of it. Listen to your child. Only by listening to your child can you help them mold positive values such as respect for women. Show your child love. Remind your child that although their behaviour was inappropriate and unacceptable, they are still loved and valued. Something that was hammered home to us even when I did teacher education. It's not you I've got a problem with, it's your behaviour. Showing that you care about the person, but you want to mould them at the same time. Don't tolerate violent or aggressive behaviour. Teach your child that it's not acceptable to act violently towards others. If your child acts in an aggressive manner towards women, it's important to take the time to explain why this behaviour is unacceptable. Explain alternate ways in which to resolve conflict. And this includes verbal interactions between siblings too. Our house would be a train wreck if we allowed the boys to take a narc, a niggle, and let it explode. And we've always taught them that what you say and what you do is vitally important. Encourage other men in your sphere of influence as well. You don't have to just stick to your own patch. It can go wider. As I said, one-on-one time can be vitally important. As a church, what can we do? Well, we can be models of good behaviour. We can make a decision today. This is how I'm going to behave and this is how I'm going to treat the women in our church, even if I haven't done it in the past as well as I'd like. Encourage other men. One of the most fantastic things that we're doing at the moment as a church is a thing called Trellis and the Vine. It's a book out by Col Marshall, and as Tony Payne said the other day at a conference, gee, who would have thunk a simple idea like that has taken off? Simple idea like one-on-one getting together, reading the Bible and praying, one-on-one. And we've started to do that in our church, and already it's bearing fruit. It's fantastic to be able to influence other men. Have fruitful conversations whenever possible. Church doesn't finish when the person that's leading the service says, right, now we can all go and have some morning tea. It goes on and there can be fruitful conversation. We can affect parent thinking through good Bible teaching in our churches. We can educate our men, teach and discuss God's values on headship. Encourage people to think about headship and servanthood. Incorporate wisdom in planning our children's and youth programs and include aspects of respect in what we do. Work in partnership with parents, understanding that they are primarily responsible for the raising of Christian children. We work in partnership with them and sharing wisdom and experience with the parents. Sad but true, women tend to dominate in a child's education. Socioeconomic factors, it's a reality. There's more women teachers than male. So, we need to encourage godly men to be involved in our younger children's church programs. A male is more likely to be effective in teaching boys respect for women through implicit and explicit means, what they say and what they do. Make training a part of all the children and youth programs and start early with those programs. Think early. Think, plan earlier than you normally would. Don't assume it's a youth problem. And whatever you do, don't fall into the trap of gender dividing tasks. Oh, this is a girl's job, this is what the boys will do. Children pick up on all of these cues. Real men respect women. It's an American slogan, but I thought it was appropriate. If we pick that sort of thing up, real men respect women. So, in summary, we need to talk about respect. It is something that we need to deal with. Feminism does muddy the water. Not always helpful. We are created equal in the eyes of God, but different. Different roles. Cancerous relationships do abound. Forming values begins very early and is a continuing process. True love is outlined repeatedly in the Bible, and it revolves around being selfless. The more a leader you are, the more selfless you need to become. The more you need to serve others. New habits start with us. The slogan of this conference, walk the walk. Walking the walk. I think one of the reasons why men abuse their greatest strength is actually in fear. Fear, anger, frustration. Who are we? What is it to be a man? So my encouragement to you is be sure of who you are and then teach younger men what it is to be a man. We live in a very confusing world with lots of mixed messages, and there's certainly bad stuff on every side. Seek to oppose sin. Develop a thick skin. Avoid the onslaught of the rubbish. Don't watch. Don't immerse. I'm not perfect either. I stand before you a victim of the same sort of influences, but fighting really hard. I was really encouraged by the talk about walking in faith this morning, and the idea of putting on all of that armour and walking in faith. And that's pretty much what we have to do, because there's bad stuff everywhere around us. There are arrows coming in on us. So I encourage you to go out, walk the walk. Thank you. We've got a few minutes for questions. Sir?
More of a comment than a question. You talk about the attitude of women in church. I think our diocese is a poor role model for women in church. I attended a big conference in Melbourne recently, Christians for Biblical Equality, where the leaders were evangelical scholars from around the world, including our own Dr. Graham Cole. They completely refuted Sidney's position on headship and show that headship in the Bible never ever, in any lexicon in the world, never ever refers to having authority over. And while Sidney holds its position on excluding women from full ministry and having men believe that they're having control over, maybe not a majority think that, but some do, then the potential for disrespect of women in this diocese will continue.
Thank you for your comments. I'm not sure that it's quite the forum that that we're talking about, but yes, thank you. Anything else?
I'm a teacher as well. But, where I teach, a number of students from various different backgrounds, and some of them very quick to claim racism on things, yet their respect for girls and women and in general around them leaves a lot to be desired. I'm just wondering what your suggestion in those sort of circumstances.
I'm far from an expert in cross-cultural. How do we change? Because they've gotten those attitudes at home, and they're immersed in a culture that has an attitude towards women. And there are parts of the world where women are treated very, very poorly. That's not to say it doesn't happen in Australia, but we live in a multicultural country, and as a teacher or even in our churches more and more, we're dealing with this sort of thing. Again, I would suggest modelling, encouraging. If you're in a forum that you can raise a biblical worldview, I'd do that, but in a public school situation, that's not appropriate. So I don't quite know what your situation is. But I would suggest that fundamental to all faiths is a respect, and overlaid with that is a perversion of relationship through sin. And that gets repeated and repeated and repeated. It'd be equivalent to going to Northern Ireland and trying to seek peace against ingrained attitudes. So what do I need to say? There's no quick and easy answer. There's no magic pill. It's a fight and it's a constant struggle. And I would suggest that it begins with us in this room and goes out from there. Anybody seeking to think it through. So the first thing you've got control over is your behaviour and your attitudes, how you speak and how you act. The next thing is, as a teacher, you have authority over the child and you can enforce what would be a school rule, school policy, and you can remind the child of that. You can bring in punitive measures, but you might like to point out that you still value the child, you're just not liking the attitude. But again, you're fighting the tide that is coming from home. So there isn't anything magic there, especially when they're at home for, you know, 16 hours a day and at school for six. So, it is really hard. And equally in our churches, if you've got children that are in one type of home with a set of attitudes and they're coming along to your programs, the only thing that you can do is say, well, at least while you're here, I expect this. These are the rules, these are the standards. It's no different than having rules in your house. We've got a rule in our house. There's no running in our house. Well, we've got four sons. Our house would be destroyed. So no ball games in the house, no running in the house. It's a safety thing. But I don't have a sign at the door that when friends come over, you read the rules, you know. It's an as needs, remind them in situ. So when they start running, it's, oh, slow down. We don't run in this house. And kids sort of get, oh, that's that rule here. At least you can reinforce that. Does that sort of help? Sort of.
Yeah, since the advent of the internet in recent times, access to unhelpful images has become very prevalent. I'm just wondering how you've helped your boys to deal with that.
Physically, we've not allowed them access to the internet carte blanche, so we have... it limited. They can't just access anything. They actually all have a second-hand computer in their rooms to do their homework on, which they abuse mightily. They play games and they do stuff, but it's pretty meek and mild by comparison to what is out there. So we try to encourage them to be thoughtful. They know the standards. As yet, I haven't had to deal with it. Eldest son, 20. We talk, we have open and frank communication, but we've couched it more in terms of relationship than we have in just imagery. No doubt they will come across it, and no doubt there will be a problem. Mr. Come Out the Into the World Backwards will probably, I wouldn't be surprised if we have some challenges there. But look, I left school and worked on building sites, and there was magazines and stuff just everywhere on a building site, that inappropriate stuff. It doesn't matter where you go, they could be watching the news or late night TV and still inappropriate images come up. So it's a question of working on the person, not just the outside influences. You're never going to stop the outside influences, but you can limit them. And one of the ways we do it is we're careful about how we do the access to the net. They're hugely into music, so they'll go and drop down tabs for their guitars far faster than they'll go looking for anything else. So my other sin, I must confess, is eBay. We can't afford to buy lots of things new, so we go on the bargains on eBay. So we tend to Google eBay a lot, but that's my other sin. Anything else? Why don't I close in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can have thought about the challenge that we have to respect women. We thank you that we can look at your word, and we do pray that you will help us and encourage us to keep thinking about it, to model good behaviour, to be able to show the young men and women of our churches what it is to treat women with respect, what it is to lead well, and what it is to serve and encourage others. Lord, we pray that we can go from here and repent of the sins that we have and have committed in the past, that we can move forward, that we can grow in you, and that we can help others to grow in you as well. And we pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.